Hello, everyone, and welcome to Real Estate Right Now, where we talk about real estate matters that matter to you. We are live here from the Blended Craft Team Studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina, where we talk about all sorts of real estate, whatever it is. And today's show, we're going to talk about getting your home on the market this time of the year. I am with the lovely and talented Kim Crump. She is a selling specialist for Blended Craft Team Realtors. Kim, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. There's a little inside joke. We're not going to talk about it, but there's a little inside joke that we're not going to talk about. We're not going to say that Kim may or may not have shoes on, as a matter of fact, is what we may not say.
Wow.
All right.
Well, so, they're nice. They look good.
Yeah, they
My
look good.
My toes got pink.
So let's talk about what's going on here, because what we've had here typically, mm-hmm. you know, everybody thinks about getting on the market in the spring.
Right.
But we're at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. Is it or is it not a good time to get back on the market, get your house on the market for sale?
Oh, it is such a great time right now.
Why do you say
it is a really great time?
Okay, why do you say that so confidently?
I say that because there is less competition right now in our market. And a lot of sellers want to wait until spring because they feel my yard is not pretty enough. And they just are not ready. But for this time of year, right now, we are looking at an exceptional time of year to put your house on the market. And not only that, is it a good time because of lower inventory levels than spring, we're giving away a cruise.
Okay. Talk about that for a second.
I would love to. So anytime somebody buys a house with us, right, or if you list your house with us from now through to the end of March, you are eligible for a free cruise certificate, 5 nights, 4 days, and a destination of your choice.
Wow.
It could be the Caribbean, Mexico, Bahamas. I mean, who doesn't want to get out of this weather, right?
Right.
So not only is inventory lower, but you could sail away.
Right.
And go on vacation.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There's that. Yeah. And that's a good perk.
It is a wonderful perk.
Okay. So we've seen interest rates drop a little bit.
We have.
And yet I know there's this hesitancy because I think, you know, even though the competition is less, right? There's still these people who are going, yeah, but Kim, you know, it seems that maybe I can get a better price in the spring, but that's not necessarily true, is it?
It is not necessarily true. No, because as spring rolls around, that's when we really see the highest volume of listings come on the market. Traditionally, our heaviest closing months are April, May, and June.
Okay.
So in order for that to happen, you have to be under contract on a house, which usually happens March, April, May.
Mm. So
right?
So there's the other side of it then, is that if you sell now, if you put your house on the market now and sell so that you can start looking at other properties,
yes,
you actually put yourself in a better position.
That's correct. You do. Because you're already sold, you'll be under contract, and then you will have more houses to go to.
Mm.
Yes, that's right.
So it's kind of a weird way of looking at it, but it is true that there's less competition, but you're putting yourself in the best position. Whereas other people who wait, right, where there's more competition,
right,
but by the time the house sells, well, then what are you going
to... They're going to be in competition with...
Right, so many more people.
So many more people.
Right,
exactly.
Versus the houses that are going to be coming up fresh on the market, you're going to have more availability to choose from because your house is probably under contract.
Right. And contingencies really don't stick anymore because most people need that money out of their house to go to the next property
or
to move out of state, wherever their plans are. But most people will not take a contingency and risk that buyer having to sell their house in order to close on theirs.
Right. Okay. All right. So let's say we do put our house on the market.
Yes.
And it's this time of year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, depending on where you are in the United States, you could have snow.
Right.
And
here you may have ice.
You may have ice, right? and of course, the grass isn't as green. And
that's okay.
What do you do? Yeah. What do you recommend, you know, because I know, you know, we want to make a great first impression. So what do you recommend this time of year when you're telling people, as you're working with people?
Sure. Well, just remember, your grass isn't green. Your neighbor's grass isn't green anyway, either.
Right.
I mean, it really depends on what kind of grass you have, but we won't get into that rabbit hole.
Sure.
But
right,
your yard comparatively looks the same as everybody else's. it's not going to be flowery and beautiful in, but everybody else's yard in spring will be flowery and beautiful too. Mm. So a lot of sellers can look at their house, their yard, and they may not like it as much in the winter as they do in spring when everything blooms,
right.
But it's okay because right. If I'm taking buyers out, they're going to see your yard and then they're going to see other people's yards and, well, hey, it's winter.
So how can I make my house pop?
How can you make your house pop?
Yeah, on the outside. What can I do on the outside? Because, okay, all right, we're going to all come to the agreement that mm-hmm. there could be snow. Everybody's got snow if you're in a snowy area.
Sure.
Everybody's grass is not green. Mm-hmm. We can do that. Mm-hmm. Is there something that I can do to make my house pop?
Sure. There's a couple of components when it comes to selling your house.
Okay.
So you have the exterior, your yard work, and you have your interior.
Okay.
Now, if we have people in our area looking for homes, they're going to drive by your house, take a look, and see if they want to come inside. Mm. So the exterior component of your house, yes, it may be snowy, but let's say you have rotted wood. Maybe some of the pickets on your porch are falling off. And you're thinking, whoa, I've got so much work to do. Yes, those are the things that you would need to get done because it's first impressions. So the first thing you want to do really is take a look at the exterior of your house. Take a look at that front and see, okay, if I were a buyer, would I want to go inside that house? A fresh coat of paint on the shutters, a fresh coat of paint to make the door pop is amazing. And just making sure that a buyer doesn't drive up and look and think, oh gosh, this house is going to need way too much work.
Right.
Because in order to get those buyers through the door, you're going to have to make your house look good. Otherwise, buyers are just going to drive straight by and they're going to go to the next house.
Let's talk about power washing. Mm-hmm. Can we power wash this time of year?
Sure, you can. You can power wash any time of year.
I mean, should we consider things like power washing the front of the house or maybe the driveway? Would that help at all?
Yes, especially at this time of year because we've gone through so much muck, the leaves from fall, all of the things falling off the trees, and it has stained all the concrete, your driveway, your sidewalks. So yes, anytime is a good time for power washing because it just gives you that nice clean sparkle and a good fresh smell. I know that sounds crazy, but it does. And as you walk up to the house, it gives that buyer a sense of, wow, they've really taken care of their home.
Mm-hmm.
But power washing is one of the most inexpensive things you can do to make your house pop.
And you said something here that just got me thinking, and that was, you know, there's leaves on the ground. Get them up.
Haul them off. I mean, if you're in the county, you can burn them in a fire pit.
Right.
I mean, there are so many solutions, and we have vendors that can help you too.
Okay.
So if you're stuck, and this is a very common, one of the first questions I often get is, well, I just didn't know where to start.
Mm.
I didn't know what to do. So they call us, we go out for a free consultation, or they can come in here for a free consultation too. We have an amazing office. And you might be thinking, I'm sorry, I'm going to just go on a tangent here. You might be thinking, well, if we come to your office, then how will you know about our house? Well, it's very, unless it's something extremely customized, we have a lot of information online that we can access, and right. we can get you fairly close to what we think your house would sell for. Some sellers do prefer us going into your house. We work case by case, I should say.
Yeah, because there, you know, I know in resales particularly, right? I mean, if the house has been sold before, we can pull up all sorts of information on that house.
That's right.
And we can see everything that's done. Now, if you've done some customization to the house,
mm-hmm.
Certainly that can make a big difference, but typically we get to see the floor plan. We get to see interior pictures from past MLS listings and that type of thing. So we have really all the information, right?
Right.
Available.
That's very true.
Right.
Exactly.
And so what's the advantage of coming into the office?
Well, we have a big screen. We have an amazing office and we have the facilities where we can sit down. And it actually depersonalizes the process just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in your house, you're emotionally attached to your house. Mm. When you come into your office, into our office, it gives you that ability to focus on reality.
Mm.
Because, of course, most sellers think their house is the best house. Well, we want you to really focus on what's best for the sale of your house. Mm-hmm. And the way we do that is we try and take some of the emotion out of it. And by doing that, when you come into the office, we can sit here, we have our huge screen TVs, and we will lay everything out for you. And it's very, very easy to see the process, the procedure, and reality. Mm-hmm. I'll put it like that.
Well, and then I think too, right, probably, I don't know if this is an advantage or not, but I would think that by coming into the office, you have an advantage of being able to see all the competition.
That's right.
Because that's you can right. actually go into the MLS.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And I mean, I take my computer with me.
Right.
To a listing presentation if they insist on going to the house. However, here it's a lot easier to get a full view mm-hmm. of what your competition is, because we want to see what your competition is. We do want to see what the homes are on the market currently that are going to be your competition. And then we also look at close comparables, and that's where we get, of course, our list price or our list range, mm-hmm. I should say. And we look at pending. We look at under contract sales too. Mm-hmm. We take a look at every variation so we can get a really good idea of where we should start the price on your house.
Okay, this is something that's interesting to me, because when we have a laptop that's in front of me, and then we have yes. a big screen,
yes,
right, and I have these aging eyes, right? These aging eyes that when I look at my laptop.
Do you want me to agree with you and say I have aging eyes?
No, I don't want you to necessarily agree with me. But in my, as you know, as I've gotten older, right, I'm having to put on readers for my yes. laptop.
Right.
And so we have this big screen in front of us here mm-hmm. that no one can see mm-hmm. because I can see what everybody says, right? And I think that is an advantage, by the way, when instead of having a small screen, having this giant screen, mm-hmm. seeing everything up in front of you, you can just get such a clearer picture.
You really can. And for the bulk of homes in our area, and we call those, you know, the bread and butter, because that's what most people can afford. Mm-hmm. The bulk of homes in our area are in subdivisions. Well, those subdivisions have a lot of comparable sales.
Right.
And an appraiser will take comparables inside your neighborhood, outside your neighborhood, but we get a very good picture. And because the real estate market was so hot mm-hmm. over the past year, we have a ton of comparables that we can go and look at, versus back in 2011, trying to do comparables was very, very hard because there wasn't much inventory or close comparables. So very, very different market now.
Okay. So let's walk into the home.
Yes.
Because this time of year, hopefully everybody has their Christmas decorations down, and hopefully.
We will encourage you to do that if you don't.
We encourage that. But this time of year, is there some special things that you want to do inside your home that maybe you would not do in another time of year? Or is this standard operating procedure, or is there something different that you like to look at mm-hmm. this time of year? Because it is a little grayer.
It is a little grayer. It's a little darker. It gets darker early
yeah.
outside.
Yeah.
Some buyers can't get there to take a look at property until after 5. We always recommend turning your lights on, but especially this time of year. Turn your lights on, make it feel warm and inviting. If it's an especially cold, cold day and you have a fireplace, well, go ahead and put that fireplace on, because that creates a really great ambiance to when a buyer walks in, you know. And then, of course, there's the basics that we also go back to. We want to make sure that, okay, well, how is your flooring look? How do your walls look? Are they looking tired? Are they looking, are they a dated color? And is your carpet still back from early 2000s, an original builder beige carpet, which is stains and dirty? A lot of people will push back on that and say, well, we don't want to switch all these things out. Well, the smell alone when it comes to new floors, and I'm saying new carpet, not necessarily new hardwoods. We can give you all kinds of options, by the way. We have fabulous vendors that we can recommend, which will come to your home and tell you, okay, well, you don't necessarily have to do hardwood floors, but luxury vinyl plank right now is pretty affordable. You'd be yeah. surprised. And the amount of difference it makes. Yeah. And in photos, which is what is going to attract the people into your house, it is worth it night and day. You'll get double the traffic in your house with a better condition than you would if you didn't do anything.
What else do you like to talk about with sellers, you know, in general, when it comes to putting their house on the market? How do you like to prepare them or get them ready in terms of maybe some more of the physical things, but maybe some of the mental or emotional things that they may experience when it comes to, you know, because they put it on the market? Do you help them kind of through that, kind of what to expect?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We work with, gosh, all ages, and especially those who have been in their homes for 30 years plus. And it's emotional. They've had their children grow up in that house. So the first thing really is to know that they're going to be taken great care of with us, with our listing partners, because we care. We want to make sure that you're not just a number, you're not just a transaction. So the way we work, even though we're a team, and people say, well, you'll get lost in the midst of a team, that is not true. That is not true. We have one agent assigned. You will have your listing partner who is going to be working with you from the beginning to the end of the transaction. And then we also have a closing coordinator who's going to work with you too. And we have extensive notes. We have an amazing system where the communication between the agents, the closing department, the attorneys, it all comes together and you are taken care of. But yes, mentally preparing someone to sell their house who has lived there for a long time really is mainly about looking forward. Where are they going to? Trying to create that new chapter of life. And I have one right now. Unfortunately, the lady's husband passed away a month ago. And it was their house that they had lived in for so many years. And I was able to go in there, speak with her. I actually had my listing presentation with both of them prior. And then, you know, they flipped and flopped because sellers sometimes do that.
Right.
Yes, I'm going to sell. No, I'm not going to sell. Yes, I'm going to sell. No, I'm not going to sell. And that's exactly what this one was. And she tragically lost her husband and she had already moved out, but then she wanted to move back in again.
Oh no.
And anyway, there are a lot of other circumstances that go into that, but she had moved out to be closer to her husband who was in hospital. And it was very, very hard for her. Very hard transition. However, it takes family. It takes a tribe, as they say, to really help you emotionally. And you will get that support from us when you're moving, when you're selling your home.
What about depersonalizing the home?
I think a lot of people are used to that now. I really believe when I go into homes, a lot of people say, okay, I know I got to take down all the photos. I know. I think they're tired of hearing it. But yes, absolutely. You don't want people looking at all of your personal photos because all the personal items that they're looking at means that they're not actually looking at your house. So we depersonalize, take down all of the photos. And also, if you're a traveler, and trust me, I'm one who loves to travel, you may want to take down some of those things that you found from other countries as well. Because it's very interesting. And once again, people are like, oh, they've been here and they've been there there. But if you have too much of it, it is a big distraction. You cannot see the floor plan and the layout and they can't imagine themselves in that house. So, and that's not just travel items. That really goes for any kind of clutter in your house. You need to, we don't live in our homes the way we sell them. And that's all you need to tell yourself.
Right. That's great. That's when people got to put them. We do not
live in our homes the way we sell them.
Yeah, that's a great line right there.
Because it's like going to a hotel. I walk into a hotel room with my three kids and, oh my gosh, wow, this is clean. And within 5-10 minutes, there's clothes all over the floor. There's our stuff everywhere. Well, in your house, it's the same way. You have your laundry, your dishes. You have a life. Most people are working, going to school. And you know, you don't have to clean up because you're not going to have people in your house every day. So for that reason, you just have to remind yourself, this is temporary. This is not going to last forever. But the better job you do up front, the sooner it will be over.
Yeah. You talked about clutter.
Mm-hmm.
And clutter comes in many different forms.
Yes.
Well, it does. I mean, right, because, I mean, you know, there's, of course, there's clutter of knickknacks.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
But then, because we accumulate stuff, it seems really rapidly when we move into a house, we seem to mm-hmm. just accumulate stuff. Mm-hmm. But sometimes furniture.
Oh, yeah. If you have really big furniture and the space isn't quite right for that furniture, it can really shrink a room.
Right.
Really shrink a room. And you need to take those items out, whether you do a pod, whether you rent a space. Really, renting a space is not right. that expensive. We have our moving trucks.
Right.
So they get to borrow our moving trucks sure. for free.
Yeah.
And they can move their things out of their house and into a space. And then it opens everything up. And it's so much easier for a buyer to take a look and say, oh, yeah, I can imagine myself here.
Yeah, that was the next piece I was going to talk to you about is, you know, thinking about it not from, oh, gosh, I'm going to be having to take this stuff out, but it's triggering the buyer's imagination, right? Because
100%.
Right? Because your furniture is not their furniture. So they're trying mm-hmm. to imagine.
Mm-hmm. That's why new construction builders do model homes. You walk into these model homes and they have the most beautiful decorators and designers who have worked on the color schemes, the bedding, the placement of the furniture and the rugs, and it looks phenomenal.
Yeah, right.
It looks amazing. Right. And then they have every upgrade under the sun too
right.
in new construction. But that is very appealing to a buyer. So if you are a seller and you're competing with new construction, then there's even more reason for you to really step it up a notch and get your house in shape. And now that the market has shifted and we're starting to see more inventory, sellers have more competition.
Mm-hmm. Which is, again, it's not going to be as much as it's going to be later on.
Correct.
But,
that's right.
But there's still more competition out. There's still competition out there.
Yes.
There's a psychological thing, though, to this, because as you're talking about that new home model,
mm-hmm.
right, that you have out there.
Shiny, the
right?
new.
It's shiny, new,
smell,
right?
Smell.
But they give you, it's almost like they're generating ideas for you,
mm-hmm.
right? And so often when we sell or resell, right, I don't think we're thinking in that mode of, you know, I want to make this like a model home.
Mm-hmm.
But that
mm-hmm.
really is the mentality, right? You really want this new home builder mentality, don't you?
You do. You do. You want a crisp smell in your house.
Smell.
The yeah. odors don't. If you have any odors in your house, I'll say that is the one thing that will
cats.
Make a buyer walk right out the door.
Right. Cats.
Cats. Oh, gosh. Absolutely. Cats. Smoke. Smoke is another one.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah,
And
yeah.
you know, the smoke is the one that gets into the drywall. It gets into your furniture. It gets into
the carpet.
Everything.
The carpet.
The carpet.
The carpet mm-hmm. just. And
don't underestimate,
yeah.
even if you only smoke in one room,
right?
Or if you smoke in the garage, you'll open that door and
you can tell it immediately.
Immediately.
And mm-hmm. and smell, we underestimate of the five senses that we have. We really underestimate that one, don't mm-hmm. we?
We do. We do.
Because there's something about smelling clean.
Yes.
And then something about smelling not clean. Right. Whatever that smell is.
Something unpleasant.
Yeah.
When you walk into the house, you're like, there's something there. What is it?
What is that?
What is that
right,
smell?
Right, right, right. What is it?
And if a buyer can't even put a name on the smell and they don't know what it is,
right.
it's a smell.
Right.
And then it just really detracts from the interest in the property.
Is that not interesting?
It is. And you know what another smell is?
What's that?
That some people would not even be aware of, but they smell it. It's water. It's that dampness in your crawl space.
That mustiness. That
musty. And there's a smell. And maybe you're thinking, gosh, there's a smell. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. Hey, sellers, have you been in your crawl space lately? Mm. You're probably like, no, Kim, you're crazy.
Right.
It's cold. Why would I go in my crawl space and take a look in there? But this time of year, absolutely. Go take a look in your crawl space, because that's one of the biggest problems that inspectors have on their inspection reports.
Crawl spaces. Crawl spaces, mm-hmm. right? And what about vacant homes?
Vacant homes. Well, there's a couple of ways we can help you with vacant homes.
Okay.
So first of all, if your home is vacant, and we say that vacant homes don't sell quickly. Once again, going back to looking at new construction, this is why they stage a lot of new construction properties. And when you go to the parade of homes, they're all staged. Why? Because they want to give you that emotional appeal, and you can see the space of the room. A vacant room shrinks. You'd think going into a room,
right,
when it's empty, it would appear bigger, but it's actually the opposite. I can walk into a room and I know it's 16 by 15, good size room, and my buyers may be like, oh, this is really small.
Right.
But it's not.
It's because they don't have any perceptual cues to really understand. They have no depth perception to really understand. So exactly. the room actually shrinks on them.
It does.
Whereas a little bit of furniture gives them something to compare to.
Yes, exactly. Even if it's a couch and a rug and a coffee table.
Right.
If it's a bed, if it's a table, a dining room table, a breakfast area table, there are certain pieces of furniture in your main living areas. You don't necessarily have to stage your entire house. But in the main living areas, yes, it's quite important because it gives that perception of, oh yeah, our current furniture will fit in this.
Right.
Because that is a concern for buyers. Buyers who have spent a lot of money on their furniture don't necessarily want to go back out and buy more.
Yeah,
but a lot of wives do. Yeah. A lot of girlfriends are wives. They're like, oh, I can go shopping.
Right. Well, and you know, here's the interesting thing that you're bringing up here is that you can have too much furniture, but yes, then empty's not good either.
No. So first of all, if you live in your house, we're going to come out with a stager. Our stager is going to come out and help you.
Okay.
Okay. And she's not going to tell you to go to Home Goods and buy a whole bunch of stuff.
Right.
More than likely, she's going to tell you what items to remove from your property, and then she will help you with your furniture placement as well.
Got it.
And things such as rugs that are really busy, they don't show up well on photos. So the whole goal in going through this process is making it open to any buyer who's looking online, and it's not too personal. We want people to be able to imagine themselves in the house. And by doing that, with the staging, it really strips down your house. It depersonalizes. So you have to think as a seller, okay, this is not my house anymore. If you're getting ready to sell your house, I'm moving on to my next chapter. Mentally, I'm just preparing this for the next buyer who comes along. This is not mine anymore.
And it comes full circle.
It does.
Doesn't it?
It does. Because, and then you put yourself in a buyer's shoe because you're going to go out and start looking at properties. And sometimes, hey, if you are buying in the same area and you're getting ready to list your house, go out and take a look at a couple of homes.
Mm-hmm.
And you will really, really understand what I'm saying, because there's nothing like walking through somebody's door and being like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they did that. And then they look at each other or they think, oh gosh, mine is the same as that. And one of the main things really is color. Even though it's just a coat of paint on the walls, if you have bright orange here, bright blue there, purple here, and then an accent wall somewhere else, it's too much. It's overload for a buyer. So it's important to have neutral walls or one color throughout your house. Hopefully it's not super bright yellow all the way through your house.
Right.
But there are tricks that really help make it easier for a buyer to envision themselves in your home.
We've done it.
We did.
We did.
Can I show them my feet?
You've been great. This has been a lot of fun. Great information.
Oh my gosh.
Tell people how to get a hold of you.
My name is Kim Crump, and you can reach me at kim@lindacraft.com via email, or my phone number, 919-605-6045.
Pound it. You did great.
Thanks.
It was awesome.
Thanks.
Hey, you know what? This has been Real Estate Right Now. You know what? We talked about real estate matters that matter to you. We talked about putting your house on the sale this time of year. Listen, you know what? We know that you have a lot of choices. You chose us. We thank you for doing that. And as I say to you everywhere all over the world who listen to this by podcast, ciao. everybody.
Yeah, I want everything. It ain't worth living if you're dreaming small. Ooh, I want it all. Yeah, I want everything. You know it ain't worth living if you're dreaming small. I want it all. Living if you're dreaming small.